This podcast is in no way affiliated with the Stars production or Diana Gabaldone. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted, the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat.
Welcome to episode 440 of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander. This episode, we'd like to thank co-producer Raquel M.
This episode is sponsored by Pod Abroad 2024. In case you haven't heard, we have been fortunate enough to work with some amazing people, an operator and a great tour guide, Blue Badge Scottish Tour Guide, to develop itineraries for Outlander-themed tours of Scotland. And we have been three times, well, three quote-unquote Pod Abroad, three Pod Abroad tours is what we call them, Pod Abroad, 2018, 2019, and then thanks to COVID, 2022. And we are planning the next one for April/May. I think it goes over the May mark slightly, 2024. And you can find any and all information, the basic itinerary, the price, etc., on or at podabroad.com.
And now on to our read-along. This week we are continuing our Moby read-along with Chapter 4, entitled, Don't Ask Questions You Don't Want to Hear the Answer To. Answers to. There were multiple answers.
The title of this chapter. This is one of the most important things to learn and not forget. Do not ask questions. Four things you do not want to hear the answer to. So this chapter is not very long. I started taking notes from like, okay, I wasn't like rewording it or like paraphrasing kind of, but I wasn't like putting the chapter in my own words. No, but because it's so, I mean, yeah, it's funny in that it's dumb. And by dumb, I mean, Lord John was dumb, is dumb. Here,
Jamie was dumb. They're both dumb.
They're both dumb. Fair enough. Okay, fair enough. So let's just start it. Let's get started. Okay. Quote, in the woods, an hour's ride outside Philly. Well, the Philadelphia. I say Philly. Unquote. John Gray was prepared to die. Why, you may ask? Because he lost his goddamn mind. After more than 25 years, it could be 30 here, I think it's 25-ish, of knowing one James Alexander Malcolm Mackenzie Fraser, he apparently forgot every single thing about him. Either that, or he'd lost all sense of self-preservation. Probably, maybe
both. He clearly wanted to be punished. He felt like he needed to be punished.
Whoa. Now, oh, I did not think about it from this side.
Because he's like, we're never going to get through this if we don't go past it, if we don't go through it. So if you're going to be mad, be mad.
So go back to what you said. He wanted to be punished. So is he a sub? When it comes to Jamie, I think absolutely.
Why did you have to whisper that?
Because I'm wondering it. I'm not trying to make it low. I'm wondering. Like, I'm thinking out loud.
I don't know if he's a bottom. He might be a top. I don't know his proclivities.
Lord John, if you have read any of, and I have not read all of them, if you have read any of the side along, the Lord John novels, for a petite man, which we obviously absolutely don't get in the series, not a problem. I don't care what he looks like. Lord John is like absolutely scrumdiddlyumptious. Like, woo. I forget his actor's name, but he's delicious. Don't get me wrong. Book Lord John, original Lord John. I don't think he's necessarily hot. I don't know. I don't have a really good mental picture of his face, but he's like Claire's height. Maybe like an inch. He's like 5'6". He's not big and he's slim over. And so is Hal. Might be a little taller, but he's also slim. So like their family, the Greys, are known for like being trim and slim. Like they don't have, they're slight. Not skinny maybe, but not like just, you know, slim. And even though he's a slim
David
petite,
Barry.
Thank you. Even though he's a slim petite man, our Lord J. our Lord J. Yeah, it kind of works. Mm-hmm. Lord John from the books. Just thought Lord J from the Gray, like Jenny from the Block. He's J from the Gray. Even though he may be a petite man, especially compared to Jamie, what I get, and dear listeners who have read either all of them or some of them, or have more firm knowledge than I do about Lord John's appearance. No, sorry, not appearance. That I'm firm in. Who have more knowledge about Lord John's not proclivities, but his manner. And by that, I'll expound on that in a second. In his relationships or in his, well, relationships, if I say relationships, I don't just mean a sexual relationship, because that doesn't have to be like romantic, right? I mean, when I say relationship, I mean long-term like romantic stuff. Now, it may be the same for him. I have no idea. But from what I remember of what I have read from Lord John novels, he may be a petite person, man, but he is, he's more of a top than a bottom, or okay, top than a bottom. Yeah, okay, dom sub is more BDSM. I'm not trying to go there. But yeah, I get I have the memory, feeling/memory of what I have read outside of the big books, that Lord John is slight or smaller, though he may be, he is more of the, not aggressor, but when I say top, I don't mean, it can mean both physically in a connection as well as in a relationship, right? Or in a situation.
Generally, if you say top and bottom, it means who's on top and who's on the bottom.
Okay.
That's generally what it means. So he's the one's a giver, one's a taker, one's a batter,
okay,
one's a pitcher.
I'm going to guess, I can't speak to that. I think he's more of a top, but what I mean in his dominance,
and I meant pitcher catcher, not pitcher batter. Go ahead.
Yes. What I mean in his dominance is he might be someone, you know, obviously not out there on the street corner, literally pursuing, because he'll, you know, at this time you could be like hanged for that, right? In and among the right crowd, meaning people whom he knows he's safe among, that kind of thing. Or a population he knows whom he's safe among, or even behind closed doors with someone whom he's with. I'm not even talking pitcher catcher. I'm talking, you can apply it probably to pitcher catcher. I'm thinking more specifically, just like who makes the first move? Like who reaches out? Once he knows someone is like, you know, not going to like, you know, turn them in, right? Or be quote unquote grossed out or whatever, you know, turned off or whatever. Once he's pretty sure that someone at least returns, even if they don't return his advances, once he has, like, he's either heard through the grapevine or he knows because someone else has told him, whatever, that someone else is also interested in men or messes with men at least either solely or in addition to women. Once he knows a person is, maybe, because that does not mean they're safe, right? But once he knows someone is at least entertains that or has in the past, and if he feels something, and if he thinks there might be a chance there could be a feelings in return or attraction in return, I have this sense memory that Lord John aggressor sounds really, you know, negative, is the pursuer, I guess. And maybe the pursuer initially, at least, and also not in charge in the relationship, but more of the, okay, if you're going to say in a heterosexual relationship, you have the, not even that necessarily, but in a relationship, if you say there is the quote unquote traditional masculine, feminine, meaning one is quote unquote leader, one is quote unquote, I won't say follower, but like more like receiver, if you want. And this is again very, very stereotypical, which is not great. But I'm saying if there is that dynamic in a relationship, and he has a relationship, whether it's only sexual or whether it's actual romantic or longer term, I just have a sense memory that Lord John was the more masculine, and by masculine I mean what society deems is are masculine traits, not physical traits, but like characteristics, right?
I don't know. He could be a power bottom.
That's true. Power bottoms are usually quieter. They lead by like suggestion instead of...
Why do you know what that means?
I had no idea. I may or may not know someone who has mentioned
it. But you just so knowledgeable. knowledgeably spoke on it. And there was absolutely no reaction when I said power bottom, which I expected for you to at least be like, power.
Oh, nah.
You're reading too many risque, spicy novels.
Not at all. I did see Red, White, and Royal Blue, and it was really good.
Not just was sexy. One of them a power bottom?
I do not know. I don't know enough about that. I don't know enough like to see and to see something or, you know, watch a story or read a story. Maybe if I read it, I would know. It is based on a book, but it's on Prime. It's free to you if you already have Prime.
I started watching it and then I got distracted and moved on with my life.
It's
something
so
else.
Sweet. It's just so sweet. Anyway, it's so sweet. Anyway, so how do we get on this? That was on me, huh?
It's always
so
on you.
Ginger. Either he.
That was just a curiosity thing that I said. I wondered what he was. And that being said, they're in the forest and he wants to be punished.
Oh, okay. It was you saying the punishment that made me think about that. Okay. So unprompted, I say again, unprompted, Lord John blurts out, quote, I have had carnal knowledge of your wife.
He's just like, get it over with, man.
Let's just, yeah.
If you're going to kick my ass, kick my ass. If you're going to kill me, kill me. But if we're going to get through this.
Rather than unaliving him on the spot, yeah. Jamie responds calmly.
Why?
Mm-mm. Oh, why? And John cannot compute. He glitches. Well, one could argue that he actually already glitched, and this is his second glitch at least. He mimics Jamie. Quote, why? Did you say why? Mm-hmm. Here I am expecting you to punch me and kill me or do whatever, shoot me, whatever you can, like get me off the face of the earth because I just told you something. And you're just like calmly, obviously it's a false calm. You're calmly just saying, oh, like you didn't understand. Well, and then why?
I mean, think about what happened to the group of people who most recently had carnal knowledge of his wife.
Group of people?
Kill them all.
Oh, that. Yeah, I don't think Lord John knows about that. We have no, I don't have any memory of that.
Well,
I don't think there's any
evidence.
But he knows
Jamie.
Oh, he could absolutely tell you what Jamie would do to someone if they raped his wife. Absolutely. So, yeah, you're right. I think he could connect all the dots. I'm just saying, I don't think he has knowledge of that thing from book six.
Book sex?
Oh, yeah.
Sound like he said sex, not six.
No, we're talking about sex, but, or John is anyway. Oh, Lordy. Only now does John seem to take stock of his surroundings. Mm-hmm. He notices the pulse at Jamie's throat, and he notices that Jamie had shifted his weight a little bit, as if readying himself for violence. Okay, now we know that John is out of his GD mind. Diana writes, quote, perversely, Gray found this sight steadying, unquote.
He's like, good, I know what to do with this.
Exactly. So there's different ways that could go. I think it's mostly what you just said, which is, okay, now we're back on track. You're about to, let's get back on track with the killing of me, right? So I see him prepare for violence. Okay, now we're done with the questioning. We're going to get on with it, right? I think it is that. But because we know how Lord John feels about Jamie, whenever Diana, and I'm not saying, well, okay, whatever. I'm not saying it's perverse, but Diana uses the word perverse. And I don't think perverse here has anything to do with John and his nature, right? I think it has to do all with what Summer's saying.
Jamie did vocally call him a pervert.
Already? Or is that later? Doesn't matter.
It might come later
in the past,
chapter,
he has.
Yeah.
Well, he has in the past too, I'm sure. But yeah, I think perversely refers to the fact that John is happy or, you know, seemingly or more at ease now that it looks like Jamie's finally switched into gear to get ready to kill him. So he felt better seeing Jamie prepare for this war, apparently.
He's like, cool. Can it just happen? Because
exactly.
He's like, I just want it to be done. I don't want to wonder when it's going to be done. I don't want to have to think about it anymore. So if we're going to do it, can we just do this, please?
Then he asks Jamie why he isn't dead, meaning not John. That's coming soon, John. Why Jamie isn't dead. And Jamie's all, yeah, I thought you might have thought I was dead. Lord John says, yes, I did, as had Claire, hence the carnal knowledge bit. John verbally pounces on Jamie. Do you know what your death did to your wife? I mean, obviously, John, you just told him. Sigh.
I mean, to be fair, Jamie only learned of his own death not
after
too
he
far.
Got there. That's true.
And after he arrived.
That's true. Jamie hasn't gone for 2 months thinking or knowing. I mean, he might think she's like totally worried because like she has been waiting longer than she otherwise would have, but not that she necessarily got that news. Yes. Okay. Jamie responds, quote, "Are you implying that the news of my death deranged her to such an extent that she lost her reason and took you to her bed by force? Because unless I've been seriously misled regarding your own nature, it would take substantial force to compel any such action." Unquote. "This is all on you, Lord John." All of it. And I don't mean the sex part. I mean the announcing the stuff that you never had to mention, ever. John says, yes and no. Jamie has a hard time believing John went to Claire due to desire. And that she let him. John replies, quote, "We thought you were dead, you bloody arsehole. Both of us. Dead. And we took too much drink one night. Very much too much. We spoke of you and damn you." I'm going to have to bleep myself here. "And damn you, neither one of us was making love to the other. We were both you." Unquote. Jamie is utterly gobsmacked. Quote, "Gray enjoyed one split second of satisfaction at the sight before a massive fist came up hard beneath his ribs and he hurtled backward, staggered a few steps farther, and fell." Unquote. And we're off. John is again ready to die. Except then, Jamie is a glutton for punishment. Quote, "You'll tell me exactly what happened, you filthy wee pervert."
Could you imagine?
Every word.
First of all, they were sloshed. Like, they were soups drunk. The idea that he's going to remember a lot of that conversation, Claire didn't.
No.
Claire didn't remember it the next day. She was like having glimpses of
flashbacks, yeah.
Of remembering of it. You know, flashbacks, but not like full recollection of dialogue and whatnot.
So while the chapter opens with Lord John wishing for, not just wishing for death, yes, but losing his GD mind because of, he just blurts out, unprompted, may I say, the third time and fourth time, unprompted, number five, "I've had carnal knowledge of your wife." Like, what the F, John? Like, it's just dumb. So he's dumb. And now Jamie, in response, so Jamie gets a little, and I mean very tiny bit more credit than Lord John does. But Jamie has also lost his GD mind. Now, this was not unprompted because Lord John started this. However, Jamie is not smart here. Or he's obviously acting out of emotion and all that. Quote, "You'll tell me exactly what happened, you filthy wee pervert. Every word, every motion, everything." Unquote.
That to me feels like Jamie wanting to be punished. Because he's not going to enjoy it.
No, of course not.
Like, hearing about it, like,
to me, it's more of a control thing.
That's just asking to have my
feelings. To me, it's more about control. Not control over John, not control over Claire, but because you were, so much in your life was out of your control, the sinking or the leaving of the ship before you got there. The sinking of the ship, well, the sinking less than the leaving, right? Because the leaving is the thing he couldn't control. Like, he paid for it, but he got there on time and they had gone. All of that stuff. And yes, of course, when he's not around, like, he doesn't necessarily want to control Claire. But because so much, you know, he just lost his best friend, right? Or a number of months ago, he was there to say goodbye to his best friend, period, full stop. And that's out of his control. Most of all the war crap out of his control. Claire, I don't know that he has guilt necessarily. He may have had at one point, I don't know, but Claire's experience, her abduction and rape out of his control. So much of their lives just in the backcountry, right? Out of your control. Just, I guess, being a human. Most of the stuff that happens, much of it is out of your control. And here he is, even though I don't think he's trying to punish himself. I mean, there might be something to that. I would have to reflect on that further. But it might be about control in that, like, look, you were gone, you know, you meaning Jamie, Jamie was gone. And I think he really, even though he's out of his mind right now, meaning he's, it's a shock and he's speaking out of anger and all this, I think asking or wanting to hear about every detail is something that, while on the surface and in reality, seems like self-flagellation. Like, why would you want to put yourself through that, right? And by hearing about it, there are many situations, at least for myself, I can't speak for anyone else, but so many, I know there are people though like this. In the absence of information, your brain will make up stuff or fill in those blanks. People will work to fill in a vacuum, right? With information. So if you find out something has happened, like you come home and you're like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, your sister has died or your parent has died or your dog died, whatever. And you're like, what the F? Like, yes, that's the thing you need to be dealing with, right? You can't, no matter what happened or didn't happen, there's no changing this fact. But you will say, what the F happened? When did symptoms start? Like, did you go to the doctor? Did you try? No, I'm not saying it's not important. It is important. I mean, you have a right as the owner, as the family member, as the friend, or to the friend to a certain extent, right? Because depending on how close you were and blah, blah, blah. In an absence of information about a thing, especially if it's a bad thing, especially if it's a negative thing, the brain needs to find answers. Human brain needs to have information. It will make up stuff. I don't mean lie. I'm not saying people don't, but it will try to say, oh, okay, the circumstances must have been so bad, or you know, it will try and fill that in. So Jamie asking for that, that's where I mean control. It doesn't change anything at all about what has happened. But having more information, even if those details are, it is like self-flagellation. Like if your pet dies or your parents die, whatever it is, like something like unplanned or unexpected, right? Like they weren't on their deathbed. They just were in a car accident or whatever it is. Anything traumatic or sudden, negative that happens, you know that all of your questions in the world aren't going to change the outcome. But, and I'm not saying it makes it easier to deal with, but having some reason or having some detail about how things ended up this way, such that this could happen or this did happen, it doesn't make the thing easier to bear, meaning the loss or the death, but it can help maybe later on or even initially help with orientation. Because if you get this big bad news, you're like, oh my God, like where the F did this come from, right? Because Jamie never would have expected this to happen. Like I almost died, but I didn't. And I'm here. And yes, I missed you too. What? You F my wife? So like, what is this?
Well, but think about it. He doesn't know he almost died. He's trying to get across to see, think about it. He's like, he shows up.
Jamie knows he almost died because he missed the ship and he knows the ship that he was supposed to get on went down.
Right. But they probably didn't hear that until they arrived and it was gone. They left without him.
Got it. So all Jamie knew for certain is that it left without him.
Correct. It's just a lot to process if he learned it all relatively in the same day.
And he says, so tell me all of this stuff. And Lord John says, nope, go ahead and kill me. More beating ensues. And the worst.
Well, because if you're going to kill me anyway, just kill me.
Like, I'm not going to expand this because then the beating might be even worse. Just get it done.
Right.
Because the more real it becomes to you, especially by my words, absolutely not. Ask your wife.
Mm-hmm.
Some more beating ensues. And the worst that I remember and that is alluded to in this chapter, I think that the two main injuries he's had is he mentions the liver once or twice. And then, of course, his eye socket. I don't forget it was left or right, but one of his eyes. Jamie does absolutely major damage to his eye. And that lasts like a lot of the way through the book. That's not a spoiler. Now that it's happened, it's not a spoiler. Some strangers approach them or approach the area that they're in. They seem to be Americans because of the words like freedom and liberty that are stitched into some of their hats. And Jamie rounds on them. And Jamie identifies himself to the people and John announces himself as Jamie's prisoner as, quote, "I am Lord John Grey, if it is any business of yours," unquote. Now, John's trying to figure out if he'll survive better or longer staying with Jamie or going with these strangers. One of the men says that he knows John is a soldier, as he'd seen him in Philadelphia in his uniform. Jamie corrects this man and says, no, he is not, meaning his current status. And the first dude's like, step off, my tall redheaded dude. I will not be corrected. I saw him. And John replies that he had indeed been a soldier, but wasn't now. He just retained his rank it's just like a title because he had retired or he had was no longer had a commission. His commission is not active. Jamie again says he is not a soldier. He says he's my prisoner because I am questioning him. And they're like, oh, what are you questioning him about? And Jamie's like, none of your business. The group of dudes is now, because Jamie is being a little bit, to them, a little bit obstinate, like, I'm not going to give you my business. Now they turn their interest to Jamie. They're like, well, who are you? Can you prove who you are? And they're like, doesn't matter. We'll take the prisoner off of you. And Jamie's like, no. They say, they'll take his prisoner, meaning John, and Jamie. And they're like, Jamie's like, so I can't take, like, so John's of no help because obviously I've just injured him. I'm not going to, I don't know how many there were, 5, 10, 4, whatever. They outnumbered Jamie. And Jamie thinks about it and is like, well, am I really going to fight? It's not about what he wants or what he thinks is best for John or him as far as, well, yeah, it's not about what he wants. It's about how will he best survive. He absolutely does not want to be taken prisoner, right? Because he does have things to do and things to take care of, things he needs to do. But he then is like, okay, either they take John and I go do my things and we don't have any further force violence, at least right now, or I fight them for John and my freedom. And Jamie's like, peace out, yo. Nah, I'm good. And Jamie's all, F this shiz, take him. Quote, as I have business elsewhere, unquote. And just before he was out of the clearing, Jamie turns and says to John, we are not finished. And John replies, at your service, sir. And I wrote, you mean at your wife's service, sir. Or John. Sorry, I had to. Just before Jamie's figure is no longer visible from their spot, John bellows, I'm not bloody sorry.
He's like, we're not done here.
And I'm not going to let you forget the fact that I buffed your wife, and I'm still not going to give you the details.
Exactly.
And that was chapter 4. Join us next time, and we will be discussing chapters 5, The Passions of Young Men, and 6, Under My Protection.
Again, a special thanks to co-producer Raquel M. To find out more about how you can support us on Patreon, visit outlanderpod.com/Patreon.
And if you're interested in continuing the conversation, please join us on our group page at www.outlanderpod.com/group. And if you have a hankering for some Outlander Pod branded merch, please visit our shop at www.outlanderpod.com/shop.
If you haven't subscribed to our newsletter, the Outlander Pod Gazette, we welcome you. Please do. Find us at outlanderpod.com/newsletter. And thank you, as always, so much for listening. We look forward to our next episode. Thank you to our generous partner, Zencastr, who offers high-fidelity podcasting. Check out Zencastr and use coupon code OUTLANDER20, OUTLANDER20, for 20% off 3 months or 20% off for a year. Connect with us. Visit our website at outlanderpod.com. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/outlanderpod. We'd love for you to join our Facebook community at outlanderpod.com/group. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at outlanderpod.